Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Chuck Bonnywell, my erstwhile partner and spouse. Julie will be joining us a little bit later. I'm not sure exactly when, but we always enjoy it when we can go solo. No Julie to try to get in my way. I'm just kidding. So this is a Chuck and Julie Show, grassroots show, truth straight up. And we've got gubernatorial candidate Scott Bottoms to start out. And that's it's such a privilege to have Scott, who's running just a great race. Scott, you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Pleased and thrilled to have you. Your campaign, it seems to be picking up a lot of momentum. We got, 10 days left to the actual assembly for choosing a new, I'm getting the governor's race and the chair race a little confused. No, we got plenty of time, but it's going to be June 30th is the date of the primary.
June 30th.
Yeah, and it's been a fascinating campaign so far. No lack of drama. This hasn't been any old dull primary. It's been amazing so far with yourself, with Victor Marx, who's made his own amazing kind of entree into politics, and of course Barb Kirkmeyer, the Weld County Senator. Where do you see everything standing at this point?
Yeah, we're very excited about where we are and where the campaign is and just where the state is with across the board. It has been interesting. Of course, this is the first time I've ever run for governor, but I did run for representative twice, and this has been way more interesting. It's been very fun. I'm actually really enjoying going around the state, and we've been to so many different small communities, the cities, all of the different things all over the state. And we've got a lot more that we're hitting between now and June 30th, but we're very far ahead of both of the other candidates in all kinds of polling and any kind of stats that you do. We're pretty excited about that. We know where we stand. We do see every now and then where somebody will put something online, including one of the other candidates that says, well, this person's polling this high and I'm so far down in the basement, I'm not even countable. Except for the fact that people forget, I did win the assembly and overwhelmingly won the assembly. And so we're just excited. We're excited with everything in our grassroots, people across the state that are volunteering for us. It's a lot of fun. We're really enjoying it.
Well, it's always tough when we've got the semi-open primaries. You've got to try to guess, I guess, who's going to vote in the Republican primary who are non-Republicans. And of course, you can change your registration if you're a Democrat up to the end. So I think they've made it very difficult. I mean, I guess you can tell which independents have voted in prior Republican primaries and try to get them. But you're never quite sure, are you, of who is going to be voting in the Republican primary?
Yeah, that is something that I actually was part of a lawsuit with a few other people to sue the state over that and say, look, let's, if you're going to be voting in a Republican primary, be a Republican. Same with Democrat. If you're going to be a Democrat primary, vote, be a Democrat. I'm not really overly worried about it. And I actually said this in the court interview with the judge.
That was just last week, right? A few days ago.
That was just last week, yeah. And they were all asking, how is this going to affect you personally? And I told them on a personal level, it actually affects me negatively. We are so strong with unaffiliateds right now across the state that if we stop unaffiliateds from voting in the Republican primary, which I do believe constitutionally we're supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
that it actually hurts me. It doesn't help me. I am very, very strong with unaffiliateds. Over half
why
right
is that,
now.
why is that? I mean, I'll just give you the traditional BS and so forth, that you, as a very strong principled conservative, pastor and all that, would not necessarily appeal to unaffiliated. So Barb Kirkmeyer as the maid squish would do better. And that vis-a-vis conservatives, you and Victor Marx would be dividing that up, and Barb Kirkmeyer could just sort of walk in. Now, conventional wisdom is wrong all the time, but that would be the conventional wisdom.
Yeah, you're not off too far on conventional wisdom. So it used to be 60% of unaffiliateds would lean Democrat, 40% would lean Republican. And if they're going to vote for Republican, that's usually kind of a middle of the road, not a strong conservative, like you just said, Senator Kirkmeyer is. But here's what we are dealing with right now in this election cycle. And this started before the last Trump election. And we're seeing this play out very strongly over these last couple of years. When you have any kind of stats dealing with the unaffiliated and independent, normally you would do phone polling, which nobody should be doing nowadays. It's so inaccurate. Yeah. But when you do statistical analysis, the questions that you ask used to be, would you vote Democrat or would you vote Republican? And now the unaffiliateds, their answer to that is neither. Right. We don't vote for political parties. We've been lied to by both parties. I understand that. That's one of the reasons I got into this whole thing and became a representative, is because I was tired of being lied to by Republicans first. And then I wanted to change the overall culture, which is set strongly by Democrats. So I understand why they're saying that. I understand the context, but that's not where the conversation is now. Now the conversation is what are the things that are most important to you? What are the things that cause you pain, that you're the most frustrated with? These conversations are showing us that the unaffiliated is actually leaning fairly strongly to conservative values. They don't use the term conservative. They don't use the term Republican or Democrat. But they say the most important things to them are family, children, protecting children, no boys and girls sports. That's an 85% subject in the state of Colorado right now. So when you add all this together, the conversation has changed so much. And I have a huge percentage, over 50% of unaffiliateds that would say right now if they voted, they would vote for me. We even have a decent percentage of Democrats that say they will vote for me right now if the election happens. And so we're excited about this. This is why I'm not downplaying the primary. You never can, be sure of anything until the election happens.
Right.
But we're very strong across the state in every demographic.
Well, that's great. And there's something that has just came out today, at least I reviewed it today, that I think certainly will help you with Republicans. Maybe Democrats, I don't know, but certainly Republicans. But Liberty Scorecard. And Liberty Scorecard, as far as I'm concerned, the only one that matters. All the others are taxpayer, and they're kind of, I don't know, that they're, you can kind of manipulate them and so forth. Liberty Scorecard is probably, it's the one I rely on, and I think a lot of rely on. And top of the poll, 98% plus, was Scott Bobbins. And that was just, congratulations. That's a real wonderful endorsement in some ways. So they don't endorse, they just report. But
right.
It's a way of people who care about those things, and I think a lot of Republicans do, or a lot of grassroots do. It tells you everything you need to know. Victor Marx is, of course, not in the legislature, so, and doesn't seem to take a lot of positions. And then Barb Kirkmeyer finished, she didn't finish totally last. She got an F and a 58.1 or something. Just pathetic. I mean, just pathetic. So yeah. Anybody who's looking, saying, I want a real conservative, there's one person you can check out, and that's you, quite frankly. And if you, in fact, you're looking for a Democrat, well, Barb Kirkmeyer is right there, just slightly above the worst, not the worst, but average Democrats. That will not be publicized. That will, you know, I mean, I guess it's up for your campaign to publicize it, and to who you want to publicize it to. But, you know, Bart Kirkmeyer, and, you know, typical of Weld County, which went left when Catherine Murdoch got Kirkmeyer elected back in 2020, has really turned that into what I'd call a blue-red county. Almost all the ones are, from Sheriff Reams on, sadly, are very establishment, very moderate, very liberal. I mean, and Kirkmeyer has gone around the state saying, quite frankly, you know, I love the budget and I saved education. They saved education? What are you talking about? You did what the teacher union wanted? You got them endlessly more funding to indoctrinate our kids? Did you get anything on more school choice or anything? No. And she sponsored bills and everything else. And so it's a pathetic condemnation of her, and I think a great endorsement for you.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Just out today.
So that's exciting. I strongly appreciate Liberty and Liberty Scorecard and what they mean. You know, we've done a few forums where Senator Kirkmeyer said that she didn't know what Liberty Scorecard really
was.
Oh,
I heard her. She was on it with Jeff and Billy on 710. We've had a home invasion, unfortunately, and we have a vicious looking somebody trying to speak in here, and it's Julie. But so I'll move over a little bit and let me.
Hey, Scott.
Oh, Julie, how are you?
Good. We had picking Rev up from finals, so.
Yeah.
A in advanced English, so.
Yay! Hey.
Well, so on this Liberty Scorecard, she even said that she didn't know who ran it. She didn't know anything.
She didn't have any idea who they were.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining because.
Yeah, it was, and then I mean, I can call this maybe misinformation. She's ill-informed, or she just wasn't telling the absolute truth. She had no idea who runs it.
She said.
And then she said, "Okay, so the former Libertarian president who went over the Democrats on the board, not true, never been part of the board, never anything else." She said she didn't think the people read the bills, which is interesting because I've never seen a more dogmatic people who read everything for it. And there's no one who doesn't read the bills, and they rate them before they even vote on them. She said that they were all off because they didn't factor in
the
fact that
they were consultants.
Well, she's on the Joint Budget Committee, so she has to do certain votes. And they, you know, because we had the head of Liberty Scorecard on a few weeks ago, and she said it's all a lie. And the good part about it is she went on the show afterwards and pointed out all the. It's the first hard question I've seen of Barb Kirkmeyer because let's face it, we have what I call Rhino Radio. And I can just go down the list, but they're all rhinos. And some are rhino adjacent because they say, well, I'm not even a Republican. Well, great. Then why do you always talk about Republican politics and never the Democrats? But you got Rush DeRogatis, you got Ross Kaminsky, Mandy Connell, Michael Brown, Ryan Schilling, and he's better than some, John Kildare, my good friend Peter Boyles. I mean, they're all pushing Barbara Kirkmeyer. They enjoy the most, however, is attacking Victor Marx. And so they can endlessly do that. And I have to say, I'm kind of bored with it. I don't think, you know, everybody said, particularly Victor, oh yeah, Victor's going to take the assembly. He's been working this and working that. And you won it easily. He came out of the poll.
Well, and you won in a poll. No, wait, that was a different poll. Never mind. That was the chair poll.
And I know that Victor had his own poll out in which he did it shitty. And he asked his mom. He got, I think, 44% of Etta Barb. And well, let me finish, huh? Home invader.
Yeah.
Right.
44 points ahead and plus. And so, you know, polls are polls, and it's hard to trust one. There's nobody wants to spend a fortune these days on polls. And as you've indicated, it's so unreliable because you can't just, you know, trying to get somebody to answer their phone these days. I know it's true for me. It's almost impossible. If I don't recognize the number or otherwise, I don't answer and say, hey, we got a poll. Yeah, right. Okay, Julie, what would you like to say as home invader?
I was just going to ask him, how's it? I know you guys have been talking a bit, but you get a chance. I mean, how's it talking? I mean, how you're feeling about things?
He already went through that.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah, I did mention that, but I do want to talk about what you guys are saying. So we understand that there's always somebody coming out with some poll, and Marx came out with his internal poll. Internal is always a red flag, but
IEC, his Independent Expenditure Committee, which is, you know, basically him.
Yeah. Right. But we're not worried about that. We know what our numbers are saying across the state. In fact, some of my campaign team, we were discussing this over the last couple of days, and they're saying, well, shouldn't we do polls to combat what Marx is saying? We do analytics every single week, and we've been doing that for a year and a half. We don't need to do some kind of cheesy little phone poll or something like that. Phone polls are not they're not how you get the real information. You're getting the information off of social media, getting the information all of some of the geo issues and things that are going on. You're not getting information from phone polls. And when they say plus or minus 5%, that means it's a joke anyway. And so we know where we stand. We know we're leading the race by so far ahead of everybody. It's the same thing, as you mentioned, Chuck, going back to the assembly. You know, everybody was saying that, well, groups were saying I wasn't going to come out of the assembly. I didn't have a chance. I was going to be. We knew what we were going into. We knew that we were going to be close to that 50%. Originally, our number was 46%. There has been hand count since then to make sure all the votes were accurate. And I'm right at 50% that I got in the assembly. And so we knew that going in. We're very pleased where we are. We're very comfortable with where we are. And I'm not worried about Victor. He is crashing and burning right now. I am also getting tired of all of the stories on the radio, but I understand why they're doing that. This information does need to come out. I do think he's a con man. The information needs to come out.
We all know that. I mean, we went to a dinner that Peter put on, and you know, everybody was against Victor Marx. And you know, I could, you know, Victor Marx is dead meat. I don't really care. Why don't we talking about Barb Kirkmeyer? Why don't we talk about Michael Bennett? Why don't we talking
he's
about something other than a dead body that everybody keeps on kicking a dead dog?
Can I get to finish?
It was so beautiful when she wasn't here, wasn't it? Didn't you guys enjoy it much more? No, you didn't.
No. I like her being on the show. I got it.
Yeah, I know, everybody. They can do it. No, let me finish. They can do it without me, but you can't do it without Julie. So it's you know, I don't want to talk about Victor Marx, but I think he's just dead meat. We gotta, and it's a disadvantage. I mean, superficially, you and Victor Marx come from the same lane. You're both pastors, Christian, conservative, or at least he claims he's conservative. You can prove it with the Liberty Scorecard and everything else. So you would think anyway that you'd be in the same lane, and Barb is over on the left wing, left of you, kind of having fun attacking Victor and occasionally attacking you too. I always find radio really, because that's not the race. The race is you and Barb right now. That's the only two people. They're going to start asking tough questions, and they won't. They won't ask your tough questions. So, I mean, I don't know how Jeff stumbled into her F rating for his Liberty Scorecard, but she sure blew that one up in the air. So it's you two, and occasionally you think all these Republican adjacent people would talk about who the Democrats have. But the Democrats have one great thing, as far as I'm concerned, is that they've got, for the first time I've ever seen, that we've got a real Democratic primary. And so some of those Democrats who just want to play in the Republican Party probably may not come this time.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing that. And let's see, I forget. I think it was Channel 7 that did the debate with Senator Bennett and Attorney General Wiser. And it was very educational for me and entertaining for me to watch that debate. Like you said, this is the first real contenders against each other that are kind of at the same level. We know that that Attorney General Wiser is just off the rails leftist. He sues the federal government. He's so anti-ICE and all this. But if you look at Senator Bennett's voting record, he's extreme leftist too. He's just a quiet guy, but he's still the same when it comes to voting. But interestingly, in that debate, and by the way, we have been targeting Senator Bennett because he's going to be the guy. Senator Bennett from months ago. When we're going around the state, we're going after Senator Bennett. I'm not trying to strongly go after the Republicans. I do have to answer questions because people always ask them. But guys, I'm not trying to say this in an arrogant way, but we left those two people behind. There is stark difference between Senator Kirkmeyer and myself. There's no doubt about it. I'm a leader and she's not. I'm conservative. She's not. I have a plan. She's not. Hers is the same old, same old. I fight against the budget. She's part of the problem with the budget. All these things make us very, very different. But I'm not really worried about that. What I'm focusing on is we have to beat Senator Bennett. I doubt it's going to be Wiser. I would love for it to be Wiser because dude's kind of off. I don't think he's mentally stable. And so I would love to go after him. But either way, we've already been planning that all over the state, and we're getting a lot of numbers. We're getting, in fact, I'll give you something that is unique that's happening in this election cycle. We did not anticipate. We knew we needed to go after a few hundred thousand Democrats, and we're getting those Democrats on board with us. They are so frustrated with their leftist Marxist Democrat leadership. They're leaving them. The Democrat base, and this is proven all over the country with articles and stuff just about Colorado. But one of the things that we didn't include that we're starting to see is I spend a lot of time in rural communities. I've always believed that's the backbone of voting in the state of Colorado. And we're seeing in a lot of these communities where different people use different terms, yellow dog Democrats, blue dog Democrats, whatever, that they've just voted Democrat all their life because that's what you do. And but a lot of these subjects that are popping up now, trying to legalize prostitution in Colorado, boys and girls sports, the transgender bills, the Democrats in the rural communities are saying, we're done, we're fed up. And when I go do these town halls, we have Democrats that show up and they come in and tell me, and they'll stand up and say, I'm a Democrat, I've got a question. And there's like 20 people there that are nodding their heads. They're Democrats and they have questions, and they're good questions. They're thoughtful questions. And we're winning Democrats all across the state in these rural communities. They are loving what we're saying because we're saying the stuff nobody else is talking about.
Right. And, I noticed that in the Chassa, the state high school track meet was this past weekend, and a boy took up the podium in the girls' long jump, right? Yep. So, and parents were outraged about it. But I'm going to tee one up for you, but I think it's an important one. When you look, talking about the Democrats, when you look at the business leaders, right, who are fleeing the state, you look at the business leaders trying to meet with Polis and saying, you guys got to quit this regular, you know, the bureaucracy is destroying us. You've got, you know, I mean, Colorado, it's a disaster. I mean, you look at the downtown and across the metro area, office vacancy rates, the home prices, things like that. I mean, to me, I'm worried about it, right? And I mean, and I think that transcends whatever your political party is. If we can't make a living, if we can't have businesses coming here, if we have restaurants closing by the dozens because of the business atmosphere, I mean, the state is doomed, and it takes a long time to recover from that. Are you hearing Democrats talking about that to you too?
Oh, yeah. We also have businesses that have reached out to us in droves that are saying, how can you rescue this? How can you fix this? I've been working with one of the guys that was on President Trump's Small Business Administration team. And he was actually, I think, one of the vice chairs there. but he's a good friend. I've been working with him for months and months on stuff to try to get back into opening businesses, starting that again. We've lost 40% of all of our businesses since 2000. That's not okay. And some of these are major companies.
Oh, yeah.
Palantir being one of the biggest. Palantir was actually the largest publicly traded company in the state of Colorado. Yeah, and they said publicly, the reason that they left Colorado is because of the taxes and the regulation, property taxes and regulations. We know of businesses that have gone to Governor Polis by the drove saying, please, please stop this. Please turn this around. We've had Democrat lobbyists come to us, specifically to me, a Democrat lobbyist, a major Democrat lobbyist for corporations in the state of Colorado that are usually Democrat friendly. And they are so frustrated with the Democrat leadership. And this is the people in the House, the people in the Senate, and in the governor's office. And they're saying, we can't get a break. We're losing. We're losing so much revenue. We're losing. And many of these companies kind of bought into the DEI stuff. And then they realize you're going to go under as a company if you keep doing this. And so they've changed. And now the Democrats are actually attacking them. Guys, we have a very strong plan. with my campaign on how to win back businesses, how to go after businesses across the United States, but also across the country. This is something that's important. You realize Taiwan is a sister country of us to the state of Colorado. We acknowledge that every year in the House of Representatives. We honor them because they are a sister with us as the state of Colorado. Do you realize right now they have been in talks with the state of Utah to bring their chip production, which they are the biggest chip production in the world, and in certain aspects, the only proprietary company with proprietary technology that produces the super chips. And they're in conversations with Utah about bringing some of their manufacturing and some of their plants to Utah. We're the sister state.
Right.
But why will they not come to Colorado? Because they can't afford to come to Colorado. We'll destroy their business in no time. We are going to change that the moment I become governor. We're going to stop the regulations, do away with property tax, and we're going to make it possible for businesses to want to come here. And some of this is already greatly a part of our plan. And we're still working with the Trump Small Business Administration. But let me give you a little teaser on some other stuff. This same fellow, friend of mine, has now a handful of weeks ago was now asked to be part of Vice President Vance's state fraud group.
Oh, wow.
And I have been feeding him stuff for months and months about fraud. One of the biggest frauds in the United States that I tried to get I tried to run a resolution to call for a special auditor to come into the state of Colorado from outside the state, voted unanimously against by the Democrats because they don't want to stop fraud.
No.
They don't want to stop corruption. This is over $30 billion of corruption and fraud that involves Supreme Court Justice, Attorney General Weiser, this kind of thing. Wow. We've got a handful of others, and I've been giving this to them for months and months, and he just told me last week, we are coming to Colorado next, and it's going to be soon.
Wow.
Well, that's great. You know, one of the things of business is how much the progressive left could care less. In the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, which we own, wrote an editorial about from Westwood. Westwood went, yay, Palantir is leaving.
Yeah.
Good riddance, we won't miss them, and so forth, saying, how many businesses do the progressive left, they could care less. They're like North Korea. They don't care whether the state goes down as long as they're in charge of it. Kim Un-young, he'd go, okay, so we have a starvation economy. I'm on top of the starvation economy. And that's what the left in Denver, anyway, is thrilled. I mean, oh, great. You know, even though all the Palantir executives gave to Democrats.
Yeah.
They gave because that's a smart thing to do in the state, of course. But then they forced them to give the money back or give it to charities or whatever else. So if you get past the primary and get by Ms. Kirchmeyer, what will happen with the Rush to Regions and the Kaminskys and the Connells and the Browns and everyone else is if you do win, will they all of a sudden help you get your message out? My guess is no, but you never know.
You're getting it out anyway.
Yeah, you can get it out, but it's still it's hard to. Luckily, people don't pay much attention to Denver Post these days, so it's one of those deals. But the anti-business sentiment within at least the rank and file of the Democratic Party is extraordinary. I mean, I don't know. You know, Denver has more public.
What did they put a moratorium on AI? Data centers and things like that. It's like the data centers are like, okay, we'll wait for a year and then we'll do it your way, Denver. They're like you said, they'll go to Utah. So,
data centers are already being built. The conversation is not, are we going to have data centers?
Right.
The conversation needs to be, what is the most efficient way that is best for our water? And I have a pretty strong plan for all of that. But the same thing is happening in New York. The New York mayor said, we don't care if all the billionaires leave, let them go. We'll make sure that we have communism. And he literally just came out and said, there was a quote, I think it's from Thomas Jefferson, that talks about how that the government is the problem. And anytime you get the government involved, it's going to be the problem. And he said, I disagree with that quote. It was one of our founding fathers. And he said, because the government is the only solution.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then pretty soon New York City is going to be a third world country.
Yes.
That's what's happening. And it's weird because the people, not not all the people, obviously, but there's groups of people in New York that are saying, good riddance. Let's get all of these wealthy people out of the state of New York, who, by the way, employ people and pay for stuff and is a major part of that economy. Let's kick them to the curb.
Right.
We've seen Washington State doing the exact same thing.
But California, too. Well, listen, we won't keep because...
Well, we do are going to keep a little longer because I think it's really important to have him on. And I want to really very much talk about another thing that's turned, the worm has turned into your favor. You were chastised, mocked, ridiculed, starting with Kyle Clark and Channel 9, for saying, both publicly and privately, that you know of pedophilia rings that are part of the House, Senate, and government, governor's one, and they all just laughed at you.
And then hours after Barb Kirkmeyer laughed at you, her aide, her aide was arrested.
Who's the chairman of the Weld County Republicans? Of course, what else would he be? And that we found out we had Cody LeBlanc say, no, it was known that
well, there were questions at least.
Well, it was known that there were rumors back from when he was in 12th grade about a assignation with or trying to
alleged sexual harassment
with a seventh grader. So it's you know, you for all their laughter and mocking, it's a little bit like Trump. You've had the last laugh.
Yeah, there's a little bit of vindication here, but that's not really. I do want to put some things out there that I think are pretty important. I know that there are pictures with him and Hunter and Senator Kirkmeyer. I am not of the school that guilty by association because you took a picture with somebody. I'm not that.
He was her main aide for 5 years.
Let him finish.
Yeah, the fact that she actually laughed at me, said I was lying. I was actually part of the problem with our children. Now, I don't think it's – well, I do think it's crazy ironic that the very first person that got arrested was her aide, although she came after me. Now, I do have to answer this question that hasn't been asked, but I do get asked it quite a bit now, is – Hunter was not part of the people that I had submitted evidence to with the FBI. I was not working with the sheriffs there. I was not part of anything to do with that, but I do know it exists in the state capitol. Everybody knows it exists. Just because you've got people like Senator Kirkmeyer that try to use it for political grandstanding or expediency, everybody out there knows. Two different people in the Epstein files were tied directly to Governor Polis and Attorney General Weiser. We know this is happening. We know that it's in our state offices, the representatives and the senators and into the governor's office. We know this is happening. I'm just the only one that was brave enough to talk about it. Plus, I did have and still continue to have right now. It's amazing, even in the last month, how many whistleblowers have come to us and tied not necessarily to directly to the Senate and the House kind of stuff, but bigger pictures of corruption and bigger pictures of pedophilia that is running through our state. And so I'm going to keep fighting this. If somehow I don't get the primary or I don't get through the governor's election and become the governor, I'm still going to fight this stuff. I've been doing it long before I started running for governor. This is a passion of mine. I will go after pedophiles and make sure they are put in jail for life. And if we can ever get the death penalty, I will also say pedophiles need to have the death penalty.
Well, you know, I did, like when I was a reporter, I did a ton of stories over the years about pedophiles. And I think, you know, they were making fun of you for saying pedophile rings. I mean, and I think the implication there is not that there's a group of guys like wear their pants too high who meet together at 4 o'clock and they go to a secret place and abuse kids. But you even look at the allegations involving Hunter Rivera. I mean, there had to have been, there's a chat forum or a website or someplace where you go. Well, that's organized. There are people who know how to get you there. That's organized. There are people who feel safe going there. There are people who supply and pay the victims in this, right? The kids. So, I mean, that's, I don't know what other word for that is that's a ring, right? And it's organized. I mean, I did a ton of stories. And as I said, I fear it's going to get worse for the Hunter Rivera people who are arrested in this, because typically the way the cops word it is, they, you know, they want to make sure they have a prosecution. So they'll have the cop pretending to be the minor saying, well, you know, I'm only 14. I hope my age isn't a problem. You know, I hope, you know, I have to get tell my mom that I'm going someplace else. I mean, they really build a case in there. And I think is that, and it's usually not just one context. correct. Usually they're repeated attempts and repeated contacts. Well,
they'll get a hold of his computer probably in the search, and probably that'll be very revealing. I'm not, well, will we find out about it? Probably not.
But I think, though, again, I think this is going to be hard for them to just say, oh, that crazy Scott Bottoms is talking about pedophile rings again. I think it's going to become apparent the kind of stuff that you're talking about. That it, and I know, as a reporter, I saw it forever. And it's not just Colorado. It goes on everywhere, unfortunately and sadly.
Yeah.
But it does go on. And I can tell you this, and then I'll shut up about it. But years ago, I remember talking to a prosecutor and saying, why don't you guys prosecute more of these cases? And we're talking about really horrific cases involving toddlers, right? And he said, you know, Julie, the problem is, most people, it's so abhorrent to them, they don't believe that it's really happening. And he said, and they don't want to believe that it's happening. He said, it makes it really hard to talk about this because people, they just don't want to. And he said, first you have to break through their barriers, you know, of not wanting to believe that somebody could do this to a child. And I think that's what you kind of came up to as well.
Yes. Well, we've also, so going back through the history of this, because I've been attacked on all different layers, that doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. And we're going to continue with this. But I did turn every bit of evidence I had over to the FBI. First, we were talking to the FBI outside the state of Colorado. Then that turned over into the state of Colorado FBI. And I've turned everything over there. They won't tell me where they are in the investigation or the material that I did. I understand that. That's because it's an ongoing investigation. I tried for about 2.5 to 3 years to get private groups to help me come into this to this space and do some investigation and some of that. Now, we have two groups that are working with us, and I'm excited because these are top tier groups that are working with us to unearth some of this stuff, and their technology is phenomenal. And I am still trying to get some funding together to help on some of that, but these groups are working with me very much, even on the financial side. But it's pretty exciting stuff, what they have the capability to do, what's going to be happening. So I think, I don't know, because I don't know where the FBI is. I don't know if they're going to do anything before the election or not. That's why I've said before, when I become governor, we're going to blow this up, because then I have different levels of resource. I have different power and authority as the governor that I don't have right now.
You have the power of the bully pulpit.
Yes. Yeah. But these other groups, I think there's a good chance we're going to be uncovering some stuff before the general election.
Wow.
And, I'm ready. I also get the question, and this one is a strange question to me. Well, what if you find out, and this came after some of the Hunter Rivera stuff. Well, what if you find out Republicans are selling kids? I'm not going after Democrats. I'm going after pedophiles.
Yeah.
I'm going after all pedophiles. I don't care what you say you are, a political party or not a political party. I don't care if you are a pastor. I don't care if you're a priest. I don't care if you run the food bank downtown. If you're a pedophile, you need to be in jail the rest of your life. And that's what I'm doing. And the trail that we're following, we will uncover, I'm sure, both sides of the aisle, people that are in very high positions, that it's going to surprise some people in Colorado. And I know because of some of the names I turned over to the FBI, but we're going to get there, and we're going to get there. I think quicker now. We'll see, but I think quicker.
Well, typically in these kinds of investigations, one thing leads to another, right? Again,
yes.
somebody's going to say to Hunter, well, how did you find out? How did you know to go there? You know what I mean? One thing does indeed lead to another, and they kind of go up the chain. Right, but I mean, typically you get a bust like this. Yeah, and it goes.
Oh, it's going to lead. His computer is going to have stuff on it. It's guaranteed. And it's going to be linked to other people.
Right.
Whether they're some of the same people that I named to the FBI or not, who knows? That's not, and I don't even have that as a hope. We're doing the best we can, and we're going to just continue in that vein, and we're going to trust the sheriffs to do what they've got to do, and we're going to trust the FBI to do what they got to do. But even if they don't, me and my team are still going to do what we have to do to uncover all this.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, and the best of luck with your campaign, and hope to talk to you again, maybe a little closer to a primary election day.
Just one reminder. When I get elected, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
You owe me dinner.
I owe you a huge, and I owe your wife a separate dinner, because she's putting it up for me.
Yes. You guys have a good afternoon.
I'll be eating free for a month. Scott, thank you so much. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Yes. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
That's right. I remember that.
He's referring to the fact that I said he doesn't have a hell's chance of getting elected. I don't think any Republican does in the state. I don't think it's going to change unless we change the voting methods. If you have mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, only one side does it. It's not that he's not a great candidate. It's just that they've crooked this election process.
Trump is trying to make a dump.
Well, Save America Act. You get the Save America Act and don't have mail-in ballots, different deal. But if they have the same system.
Pushing Jennifer Griswold, so we'll see. But let me read some of the comments. There's an AI shop near the Purina plant that people are trying to get out of Denver. Yeah. Exactly. What did the mayor of Seattle say? Bye-bye to all the businesses that are leaving Seattle. And Hochul told the Lear employees to get their trike done, or else people will have to commute 5 hours a day plus congestion parking fees at $80 a day. These people will leave New York, so the strike ended at once. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons, if I'm Scott Bottoms, and it sounds like that he's right, that, you know, the business climate and the woke, or some of just the outrageous, the, you know, the parental rights, the speech rights, all that kind of stuff, I think people have had enough. Well, as we saw, now you want to talk about Massey?
Well, yesterday's primaries, I mean, one of them, the biggest one was probably Thomas Massie, who started as a kind of a libertarian candidate. I must admit, I thought he was an interesting guy when he got first elected.
Years ago.
8 years ago, 10 years ago. But he's gotten steadily worse, until he soon became just a shill for some of the most unpleasant people around. And he lost by 10 points. It was supposed to be a very close election.
Not even close.
Mitch McConnell had supported his run, and Mitch McConnell lost badly on the gubernatorial side. And the Senate side, too.
I think I read a thing and I thought it put it well. It's not so much that the voters didn't change. Thomas Massie changed. People, and we talked about this a little bit too. It's like, okay, yes, Trump endorsement, no Trump endorsement. But the thing that matters is it was the Trump agenda, right? Which is the MAGA agenda.
That's really a good point, Julie, because that's more beneficial for him. Because, Trump is a 300 or 800 pound gorilla. And so, no, his agenda is 800 pounds.
Right.
When Trump does things like one time he said, everybody go get your jab, and he was booed.
Right.
When he decided to come out for red flag laws, everybody went, what do you think you're doing?
Right.
So just because Trump says it, that doesn't make people automatically go. If he hews to what he got elected on, different deal. But, you know, quite frankly, our friend Dave Williams got Trump endorsement, but no money. And the American for Prosperity killed him with $3 million, $5 million.
For Jeff Crank.
So it isn't just the endorsement, and it's disingenuous to say so.
It says this, you know, 2 years into the term, that the people still want that MAGA agenda. Yeah. It's like, we still want closed borders, Gabe Evans. We still want
those 10, 20 million are here deported, and those who self-deport can come back. Some kind of rational system.
I kind of wonder, you know, what the deal is with Lauren Boebert. I mean, Trump, what did he call her? Weak-minded? He called it a carpetbagger.
Yeah.
And she certainly backed the wrong horse there.
Well, that one I don't blame her as much for. I mean, I think her and Massie were generally, Massie's one of the few people who reached out to her when she came to Washington. So they headed up a Second Amendment committee and some other else. But anyway, she is, you know, all of us who are grassroots thought, hey, we got a candidate for grassroots in Colorado. And she ignored the candidate, not ignored, put down and stayed with the establishment. And you said, well, at least she's voting well in Washington. Now she's not
voting either. Yeah.
And pretty soon, I think she'll be finished.
Well, yeah, you look at, it's too late now. Trump was like, hey, if anyone wants to run against Lauren Boebert, they get my endorsement. But it's too late now. But you got to be worried if you're her. If you're somebody thinking about challenging her, that certainly might be something to look into. So 2 years from now. But I think it is interesting. And that, again, to me, the whole thing says that as we're going forward, people are pleased with what Trump is doing. Exposed. And again, every time you turn around, it's like even worse than we thought it was, right? You look at stuff that Doge.
Well, a lot of people are unhappy about the war in Iran, and some reason to be unhappy about the war in Iran. And I think Trump's ratings are down. But that's, if you lead, that's going to happen.
Right.
But I think
it's
because
not
of Trump, the Republicans have a much better chance to retain the House because they're going to gain 10 to 12 seats. That's the estimate. Based on redistricting.
Right.
I mean, Trump started the redistricting in Texas. they came back in Virginia. That got shot down. So they're going to have a better chance. It may not be enough. You know, I have no way of knowing. And certainly the generic vote is in the Democrats' large favor.
Right. Jacob is saying, are you afraid the senators will stop the war in Iran? Yeah, didn't somebody, Cornyn, somebody who got Trout lost said, okay, screw you, Trump, and sided with the Democrats on the on the war in Iran. It's hard to, when you say stop, right? I mean, the war in Iran, it's like, to me, it's almost like this giant octopus. There's so many elements to it and aspects to it and things like that. It's like, so stop the war, you know, what does that really mean? I think they all just use it as a talking point, right?
That maybe they'll try.
But I mean, what would stop it mean?
Defund it, say we want, you know, you can't spend any money on it. Similarly, they did it with Iran-Contra.
Yeah.
So you can't spend any money here and it's illegal and all that stuff.
Well, they can make it an issue, but
you know, but you know, it's interesting about the Massey race is Massey, when he did his concession, he said, I'd like to, you know, graciously concede to my opponent, but he's in Tel Aviv. Now, he wasn't in Tel Aviv, honestly, for election night. But that's very much a dynamic where three billionaire Jewish donors massively supported Gilrain. But Massey got a lot of support from Islamic groups, far left groups, and everything else. So it was an Islam versus Israel type of
funding.
Well, battle in that election. I must admit that is, you know, people no longer afraid to go, well, you know, Israel is this, Israel that, because I think Israel does control much of our foreign policy. But you know, it's the worst of two evils, and I think Iran wins any race, the worst two evils.
Jacob says Trump is right. How can he negotiate with Iran when the senators are stopping him from negotiating? Well, there's that. And I think the bigger problem Trump has is, who do you negotiate with in Iran?
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
You can't trust them anyway.
Right. They're going to lie.
But even if he could, you know, they're not in a position to do anything.
In the meantime, what's happening sort of geopolitically is countries are finding that building pipelines, you know, I mean, Iran's main thing is the Strait of Hormuz, right?
Yes.
And so that's becoming, I mean, every day that goes by, they're making more progress on pipelines and finding other avenues to get their oil to other places. So I think that always in Trump's favor. And I think it makes Iran even more of a non-player. And I don't think Trump is going to back down on the whole nuclear weapons thing either. And, you know, sooner or later, Iran is going to be in such disarray, I think. You know, I think that's one of those ones. I think Trump probably has a game plan, but I think like any game plan, it's probably fluid depending on what happens.
The game plan is to have troops or people with guns in Iran, and that's a real conundrum. That's a real difficulty. You could arm the Kurds, but if the Kurds get into the capital and everything else, who knows what they'll do? So that's, you know, it's one of those ones where I destroyed their navy, I destroyed their army, or I destroyed their air force. They have no air force defenses. Yeah. Well, there were no navy for the Taliban. There were no air force and everything else.
What Trump is doing in Mexico, which is just so interesting, where they're arresting some of these cartel leaders.
Well, overall, and also financial institutions.
They're freezing their assets, right?
Well, not only their assets, they're making it much harder for people to transfer money.
Right.
One of the great drains from this country is remittances to third world countries. Nobody wants to touch that because so much money is made from those transfers. But if you want one thing that would stop immigration, would be put a remittance tax.
And I think what he does, the reason that people are turning themselves in is the Trump administration is like, okay, you know, we're going to just say that you're all cooperating with us, and then you can either stay here and the cartels will kill you, or you can come turn yourself in and give us information and help us. So, I mean, he's got a lot of things going on, I think, that are working well, that on its face, you're like, what is he doing that for? And all of a sudden pieces start to fall into place. I think that's going to do anything else you wanted to.
No, I thought that was important to get in, though. I mean, there's a lot of Ratzenberger laws, and, you know, in Georgia, he was advised. There's a whole firm that specializes in taking Democrats and turning them into viable Republican candidates who can turn back to the Democratic agenda once they're in.
Right.
So I think overall it's just a great day.
A great day. So that will do it for us today. Just sort of a programming note. We'll be off on Monday. It's Memorial Day. And then you'll probably be back on Wednesday.
Just me.
Just ducking on.
All right, turn in, please. She may come.
Depends on the golf tournament. So
how the golf tournament does.
Thank you to Scott Bottoms and everybody.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He always is. Everybody on Zoom.
And I hope I lose that dinner to him, but I'm still no more optimistic given the present voting way we go.
All right, but hope springs eternal.
Hope springs eternal.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you too, Dr. Donna. Thanks, guys.